What is your name?
ESPN 97.5. KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. Guess what?
What?
If you missed it yesterday, and some of you did, I can't believe how many texts I got on the way in that said, can't wait to hear you guys break down Bill O'Brien and the Verlander no-hitter, and I go,
you bastards.
We were on the air yesterday, and yeah, if we had to be there, where the hell were you?
You bastards missed it all. Now you got to podcast it because I'm not repeating it.
That's kind of the way you are. Nick and I'll repeat it if we have to.
Oh, now see?
Just because we'll pander any way possible to make sure the suspects get what they need, because we love them, and because there's more to talk about, because my man Ronda... No. Because the Bull... No. Because the Astros won yesterday.
See?
Again.
You're already starting on me.
I'm really not directing at you yet.
Minute 50 seconds in the show.
What I tried to do, Nick, and I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, for Barry's sake, was...
You don't even ask how my night was.
We'll get to that. I just wanted to reach out to the peeps, because I was actually very active on Twitter during the game last night, yesterday, because we got home in time to see the end of it. And so I was tweeting, and I go, for the sake of Barry, what can I do? And I was like, oh, I got it. When Springer hit the home run... That was a Springer. I texted him first, so he can't say that I was just pandering. I did text him directly.
He totally did.
Then I put out there and said, that's a Springer dinger. He hit it all the way, too, and then allowed everybody to fill in the blank. But I tagged Barry, so he got every one of them, I hoped.
It was awful.
It was fantastic.
It was awful. Yeah, he's texting me, your donger.
Yep, I gave him that one, too.
Yep. It's like, that's not my donger. It's not our donger. It's your donger. I was just like, you know what? I don't like that we get along now, actually.
So weird.
It is weird.
So
I have my moments with it, too. But I think, you know, in the alternative, I sat at my kitchen table last night because with my computer going, I just texted Barry like three times.
Yeah, I'm like, now we converse, and now I have to deal with him outside of the show.
Yeah.
And he's on me about this bullpen thing. It's just a disaster.
You guys are so close now. I like it.
I don't know.
You guys are like two butts in one underwear. It's fantastic.
I don't know that we had to go there.
Yeah. You guys are like texting each other out after the show, before the show.
Two butts in one underwear.
Okay, we're going to have to pause for a second.
You guys you guys are like always together. That's my point.
No, we're not. But
you guys are hanging out on weekends?
No, we're talking.
What is two butts in one underwear?
Yeah.
You two being so close.
Is this a hobby you've done with your friends over the years?
For a year and a half.
Are we missing out on like a hobby that you have with your friends?
No, year and a half of hatred.
Oh.
Two butts in one underwear. Is that something you do after playing basketball?
Sure.
Hey, you guys want to go grab two butts in one underwear? No?
You didn't like that reference?
I don't understand it.
I think you guys are just upset because you guys are getting along so much now. And you don't want to admit it.
Somebody's jealous.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand two butts in one underwear, but I don't even want to know what that means for you and your sick, twisted, weird... crazy mind. So I don't know.
Is this your new Pornhub category?
Yeah.
Two butts, one underwear?
I mean, not really. No.
What do you mean not really? That's not a
That wasn't just coming
wasn't
out defending.
Answer.
No, not at all.
I was distracted by Twitter.
Not really is not a no.
It wasn't the fact that I didn't have
Did
a firm answer.
Did someone send you a picture of 2B1U? Is that your
I don't
new
get
thing
that.
We're going with?
Nick's new thing is the 2B1U.
Mm.
Two butts, one underwear.
Yeah.
Should I gong myself for that?
You kind of should have.
Either that or get a personalized license plate that says 2B1U.
Speaking of that, did you see the one about pee before you go?
Yeah.
And then the lady got in trouble and then fought city. I'm like, really? This is what we're spending our
time
on?
A personalized license plate.
That said pee before you go?
Yeah. Evidently to remind you to take your kids to the bathroom before you get in the car. And they had allowed it for a certain period of time, and now they're trying to say that it's offensive.
Yeah, it's. I mean, really, this is where we're at now. This is what's important. This is what we're wasting politicians' time with, is fighting license plate to say pee before you go.
What do you got?
She ended up winning, by the way.
They're called fundies, by the way. They exist.
Fundies are two B's and one U?
Pink Valkyrie now, just tweeted it out.
Do you wear these and face each other?
No, I'm saying you guys.
No. We obviously didn't know anything about these.
We're a blue.
I'm the jealous one that doesn't get along with anybody. I can't fit in that.
You brought it up.
Oh, you can fit.
You have to own this. Yeah,
you're right.
Neither one of you can fit. You can fit.
Yeah, there's no way our big asses are sharing a pair of underwear. No. So since you actually do it and you brought it up, do you face each other, or is this like a tandem bicycle ride
in
thing?
The picture, it looks this? Like in the picture that Pink Valkyrie tweeted.
Yeah.
It looks like you face each other.
Do you?
So instead of the dual parachute approach, you're actually going sword fighting.
I guess so.
That's what it looks like.
Wow. Well, you better.
Y'all are all tagged.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Is that a. Okay, so that's a. So this is a male and a female. I feel like there's not enough room to. How can I put this nicely?
Fornicate?
There's just no room for movement.
Was that like Joel's subtle way?
Yeah. Ooh, watch your mouth, young man.
Let me just use the technical term.
Listen, there's no room for movement there. I don't know what happened. Boy, we got off to a weird start.
How the heck did that happen?
We just had a meeting with AJ.
Because of two B's and one U. Yeah. I've never even heard of that. Because
of him.
So. I was just trying to say that I'm happy that you guys are getting along and y'all just went way off the rails.
Okay.
Just saying.
I don't feel your joy, but okay.
No.
I don't want to feel anything after that. What you just gave us a little lesson in that I wasn't aware of.
Just rerun the music and let's start over.
Okay.
This is weird. What up, Pound Town? Okay, never mind.
Pound Town.
I don't know why I always want to say what up, Pound Town, when I do it.
And
I
the what no up idea. Was like prepubescent.
What up?
They're going to be coming down the mountain any day now, and I'm going to be talking a lot deeper.
When they drop, you are in trouble. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
So obviously you watched the game.
I did.
Yeah, because you're texting me about it.
Yep.
What I found interesting is that you'll give Rondon crap.
Oh, more than crap. I give him full-blown, not even manure S-bombs.
So he goes out and has a pretty clean inning. Two strikeouts.
For once?
Two strikeouts. Okay, for once, he's still got a 3.74 ERA.
Where you and the numbers go.
But what I don't understand is how you let Josh James go out there with all that wildness, two walks, 23 pitches in one inning. You realize if he was a starter, that would be awful. How do you give him a pass?
Thank you. I appreciate you asking.
How do you give him a pass but not Rondon?
It's easy. Because
you
would have
been
day,
roasting Rondon for an inning like that.
For the end of the day, it's easy because at the end of the day, he cleaned up his own mess. What Rondon does is instead of getting out of things, he makes sure that the ball gets out as quickly as possible and runs score. I don't like what he did in terms of, like you said, coming in. He said after the game, I had jitters. Well, that tells me a lot about what I don't want to see and what kind of situations I want to put you in high leverage-wise in the playoffs and otherwise. But at least he cleaned up his own mess, and he has something more than a high-velocity fastball. Rondon's normal track record over the last couple of appearances, over the last month or so, has been that at some way, shape, or form, he's going to give up at least one run or one bomb. And that bothers me. So I'm not here to say that Josh James is the answer. At least he got up and got out of and cleaned up his own mess.
Oh, okay, like he did in April when he had a 9.26 ERA.
Here we go, Daryl. All right.
What are you? The numbers don't lie, Joel. You're just you're selectively mean.
Wait, let me turn the page.
You're selectively mean to
Roberto Osuna.
Oh, boy, he was
5.40 earned run average since the All-Star break.
Did you see how many people were up in arms about him getting a win? They're like, how do you blow the save and get the win? Now, I don't want to start any dumb baseball talk. You know,
because, why start now?
Because, you know, we got roasted for talking about a walk, driving in a run and all that. So I certainly don't want to upset anybody.
Ted got on you for that.
That maybe comes on after our show. However, it is a silly thing when you think about it, that a pitcher can go out and blow the game, lose a lead, get a blown save, but actually get the win at the same time.
I saw someone say it's as silly as getting an RBI for walking with the bases loaded. Yeah.
I feel like at this point you should be like, all right, you get the blown save, but you don't get the win. Whoever got the save gets the win. You don't get a blown save and a win, and then someone else gets the save.
I tend to agree with that.
I think Josh James should have got the win and the save.
Why do you get rewarded for crapping the bed?
Agree.
right? Because you had the opportunity in front of you and you crapped it so bad that it was then back to even and you had to work harder to get. I totally agree with that. I'm with you on that.
I'm glad we're getting along.
But no, let's not start that because then he's going to bring up the two butts and one underwear thing.
Do you need a hug?
But at the same time, when you look at everything that this team has going right for it, and it has so much going right for it, and obviously a lot of teams could have folded up their tents and lost momentum at the end of the game when Osuna coughed it up. But instead, Springer hits a home run and they find a way to get it done. But that bullpen becomes, I know we kid about it, but it's increasingly more and more important. That's why I said to you yesterday, how do you feel about the Astros medical staff? Because if Ryan Pressly can't compliment Will Harris, they got issues.
I haven't looked, but where do you think that their bullpen will be ranked ERA-wise? Because I haven't looked, so I don't know.
Now, I know I know you brought this up in the past. It was around four or five.
Been around four or five. Okay. Do you think it has fallen, or do you think it's maintained about the same because other bullpens
are I think it's fallen a little bit based on recent activity and the fact that guys coming in, especially with big leads, have coughed up at least a long ball or two.
So, yeah. So, going through the year whenever we've argued or talked about bullpens, they've been four or five. So, after the break, I'll let you know where this bullpen sits amongst the ERA, amongst the Major League Baseball other bullpens and ERA. So we'll do that.
Snooki Bear, don't mislead the audience. We don't argue anymore. We just talk. By the way,
Aaron Rabold Googled two butts, one underwear.
I bet he did.
We'll have that after the break as well.
Hey, we're just getting started. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. HRP listener line wide open for you. 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number, and all day, all night, all the time, you can always send us a tweet. At Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride wherever you may be on this fine day in Houston, Texas. It's a Tuesday, boys. Just a little reminder. And for you, the suspects, start making suggestions now.
I got it.
Uh-oh.
Have no fear, fam.
What you got?
What's the theme?
I got you, fam. There are four divisions in the AFC. There are four divisions in the NFC. We each have to have eight songs. Your eight songs are from the eight cities you think are going to win a division in the NFL.
God, that's a lot of work.
Say no more, fam. We did it. We in this B.I.
Well, this may be the first time in my lifetime I don't pick the Packers because I don't know any musical group from Green Bay.
I watched a Travis Scott documentary, so I'm feeling very hip.
Okay. How tight are you with James Harden? Two B's, one U? After watching the Travis Scott documentary?
By the way, speaking of that, Aaron Rabold texted and said, I looked it up. That is an Egyptian expression.
Oh.
And our man Nicholas has Egyptian blood in him, so maybe that's where it comes from. Nicholas, is that where you channeling?
Yeah, you were telling me in the break. I would have never guessed.
Really? Yeah,
that just might be my inner Egyptian coming out. I would have never known.
He sent me a link.
You were doing two B's and one U. It would be your inner Egyptian coming out.
Arabic and English .tumblr.com, and it says two butts and
Tumblr.com. It's a blog. That's where he got it from.
It says two butts and one underwear is an Egyptian expression used when two people are very similar and really inseparable. I wouldn't say we're similar or inseparable. I would just say that we get along.
Yeah.
That's, you maybe took this a little far.
That Derek Rabel guy trying to stir it up. This is so crazy. And he's always such a good dude otherwise.
All right. So I looked up the bullpen averages.
Yes.
Now, I did a couple of different things here because I knew that you would be interested in knowing this.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
Where do you think they are in saves?
Well, I mean, they have a lot of wins. So
where do you think they are in saves?
Top five.
They are in 10th. Tied for ninth.
That's because Osuna keeps coughing them up.
Yeah, they are tied for ninth with 37 saves, tied with Cleveland. Ahead of them is Tampa, Milwaukee, Cincy, Atlanta, Minnesota, St. Louis, San Diego, and the Yankees. All right? Mm-hmm. Where do you think they are in blown saves? You think they're top 10?
I do.
In the amount of blown saves?
I do.
They are not.
There's a lot of crappy teams in baseball.
Do you think they're top 15 in blown saves?
See, normally I can catch on to you baiting me, and I wasn't paying close enough attention.
They are not.
Okay.
Do you think they're top 20 in blown saves?
So you're feeling good about Osuna these days. Is that what you're
telling
me? Do you
think they're top 20 in blown saves?
Do you, Nick?
They are 19.
Okay.
So, yes, they are. There are, what, 11 teams that have blown.
Do you want your team less... with championship aspirations 19th in the league?
I'm just giving you the facts, ma'am. Now, last one. Bullpen ERA. Where do you think they rank at bullpen ERA?
Bullpen. It's a hammer.
Not bullpen.
Did someone mention a hammer?
Bullpen, because peen is penis, and that would be weird. Where do you think that they rank in bullpen ERA in baseball?
I'll still say top five.
They're tied for third.
Okay.
They actually got better. They are tied for third with Tampa with a 3.79 ERA. So all this hate, Joel. It's probably warranted a little bit because it's been really shaky.
Yeah, it's not. And it's not hate. It's just. But it's just you lose
weird.
Trust.
Yeah, but I think because we watch it day in and day out, and you see them day in and day out making these mistakes, and the fact that they get out to big leads,
yep,
really helps the fact that they don't have as many blown saves and so forth because they're, you know, they're winning 8-2. So when Davinsky comes in and gives up a couple runs, they win 8-4.
And so that's what I said. Especially lately, there's been times when the lead's been so big that whoever comes in is just like, and you know they have a different mentality too,
sure,
where they're just like, let's just get it over the plate, get the game over with, keep
throw
it
strikes.
Moving.
Yep.
And then, you know, you inevitably are going to give up a couple of big hits. But overall, that's one thing. I was so fired up about it, I wrote it for Sports Map last night that I just wrote about the bullpen. And I didn't rip them per se. I gave some numbers, but I essentially just said, how much do you trust this bullpen going forward? Because for all the moves that they made, this was the most complete team in baseball top to bottom with the things that they did to shore up the rotation, with the fact that, like you said, numbers-wise, their bullpen was already top of the league. You know, they even got a backup catcher. They did all the things that they had to do to put together the complete roster. No one saw this coming. But now the bigger question is, can they rebound from this? Can the guys find it that lost it? Can the injuries not be, you know, season ending, and can they figure it out before they get to the playoffs? Because the last thing you want to do is see these starters go deep and then all of a sudden turn it over to a bullpen that's lackluster and they cough it up.
Yeah, well, first of all, I was, all kidding aside, I was surprised to see them rank that high in bullpen ERA. It really surprised me. I thought they would be 5, 6, 7 somewhere in there, not tied for third. But to your point about the playoffs, I do think the saving grace is the fact that just like the rotation gets shortened, this bullpen is going to get shortened. You're going to try to get 5 to 6 innings out of your rotation guys because you're only going to go probably 4 deep at the most. So you're talking about trying to get 5 to 6 innings out of Verlander, Cole, Greinke, and then sometimes and maybe one time at least in a series, Miley. I'm confident that they can all those guys can go 5 to 6 innings. So now you're talking about situational bullpen use where one guy comes in to face one batter and you're talking about Presley getting the 8th, Osuna getting the 9th, and Will Harris, who's been,
yeah, as much Will as Harris, we kid about, but I'd say Will Harris is a guy right now that I have more trust in than I do Osuna.
Yeah. Now, and so I think you're going to see this bullpen get shortened and it gets better, right? And I will warn you, Joel, now that the September call-ups have happened, you're going to see more explosions. Yeah,
yes,
you're going to see more blow-ups from that bullpen because of these young arms. But I do have to say, I know you've been clamoring for Josh James to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching him last night, and he was a little shaky at first. You could tell that he had some nerves, that he was missing, you know, the arm side, and everything was away or up and in on right-handers and away on left-handers until he figured it out. And I think that talk from Brent Strom helped calm him down. But I could see Josh James being a closer in this league.
No doubt.
He's got the stuff. The movement on his slider.
See, and that's what I was going to say.
Is insane.
There's the difference between him and Rondon, because we've gone back and forth, too, on the fact that Rondon's been a closer in his career. But the thing is, Rondon has struggled to have that secondary pitch that keeps hitters off balance and have movement on the pitches he throws. And you're absolutely right. When you look at James, you see 100. He hit 100 yesterday on the gun. He's got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. But better than that is, he has a secondary pitch and a slider. He can mix up some things to change the pace on it. And no matter what he throws, he had good movement. So I'm with you in the fact that whether it's here or somewhere else,
he could be a closer one day.
Because of the liveliness of his arm and the velocity, and then because he has that secondary pitch, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I think you'll see him slowly move into, depending on what happens with Presley, even though he's locked up for a couple years, Will Harris, I'm sure they're going to lock up, because I think A.J. Hinch has a ton of faith in him.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, James could be one of those guys that could be a setup guy before he moves into that role, but I could totally see that happen.
Now, here's the other thing, that the concern I had, which I brought up earlier for you. The fact that when they did the interview with him, he said, I had some nerves. I was a little edge coming in. So as a closer or a relief pitcher in any shape or form, and we know how many times this year Presley came in a high leverage situation, you got to be able to bury those nerves and you got to bear down. And that's one thing that at least concerns me.
You'll learn.
You got to get control of that. That's the only thing I would say.
You know, you got to get control of the money you get back when you buy gas or when you buy food. And if you're not getting any of your money back, you're not using GetUpside. Guys, if you haven't downloaded it yet, do yourself a favor. Trust me on this when I tell you, you're going to love this app. Download GetUpside right now. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, because that's going to get you a little extra on your first fill up through the app. And I was looking at it because they're always adding new restaurants. I saw that they have Dunkin' Donuts now in the GetUpside app, where you can get up to 35% cash back. They have La Madeleine in the app now. There's one on San Felipe. You can get 20% cash back when you go eat there. How cool is that? They have Popeyes and Burger King and Wendy's, and there's Candelaria's Pizza. There's over 100 restaurants around the city of Houston, and they're always adding new restaurants. And they'll take suggestions, too. You can say, hey, y'all should go talk to this restaurant and get them in the app, and they will absolutely do that. So make those suggestions. And when it comes to filling up your tank, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back in your tank. And yes, those deals exist. We've had Clarence call the show and tell us where you could get 25 cents a gallon cash back through the GetUpside app. So there's really no reason not to do it. There's no commitments. There's no long-term. You're not locked into anything. If you don't like it, you just stop using it. ABC 13 did a special on GetUpside and put it on their website and talked about how great this app is. I use it. Nick uses it. AJ, Aaron Raybould, Jake Asman, tons of people now at the station using GetUpside. If you're not doing it, you're actually wasting money. So do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside, put in that promo code Barry, start getting that cash back, and thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Like a month ago, and I was just talking to him, and I was like, Dwayne, how you like it up there? He called. I was like, bro, what you think? He's like, you need to come play with us. You know, you'll love it here. Great weather. It's not hot like Houston. great fan support, other great teammates on this team, and come be a part of something great. And I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to try to look into that and try to get up there with you guys.
That was Jadeveon Clowney yesterday after his first practice as a member of the Seahawks. Interesting that Dwayne Brown was lobbying, shall we say. I think he said a month ago.
He did.
So if that was within 30 days,
right.
If that was 30 days ago, there were some people on Twitter insinuating, would that be tampering?
Can't be tampering.
It hampers. It happens in every league. There are NBA players that are constantly working other players to come play with them on different teams. So there's no way you're ever going to police that.
No, and it doesn't matter that it can't be tampering. He's a free agent. He never signed the tender.
Right.
So he had no contract with any team. That was the whole point. That's why he had the leverage.
Yeah.
So it can't be tampering that Dwayne Brown called and talked to him. It couldn't be tampering. And that's why he flew to Miami to discuss with them first. Or that was the rumor anyway.
I'm just saying what I saw on Twitter.
Yeah,
and
no
I was
way
just like,
that,
stop it.
Yeah.
Because, look, I've been a part of it. I've seen other players do it. It's just something that happens in sports. You're never going to stop. So just skip that argument right there.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me either. I mean, they, you know, they had a relationship. And obviously he talked to Dwayne. And you kind of, I would be surprised if he didn't do that. If they didn't talk, if that was a place he wanted to go.
I thought the other interesting quote that he had was they basically said, have you moved on from what they did to you? And he said, I didn't do this. They did.
Yeah.
So he basically was in a position where I think he fully was ready to play for the Texans again. And based on how the negotiations went and discussions and otherwise, the Texans decided to move on. So he has too. So I don't think anybody here should be mad at Jadeveon Clowney because one, everyone wants to get paid, and they all feel that they should get their value and their worth.
Yeah, why would you begrudge that man getting his money?
Right.
I don't have a problem with him wanting to get paid. We always talk about how in the NFL, the structure of contracts are such a way that the players always are on the losing end of it. And that's starting to change. You're starting to see the top 1% are getting more guaranteed money. But in the past, it's always been where, oh, well, we'll guarantee, 10%, 20%, but we can cut you at any time and you lose all the money that you didn't get that was guaranteed. And so that's starting to shift and you're starting to see more and more players take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I say good for them. Go get that money.
No, I'm with you. And that's why we always see, too, where the unwritten rule amongst players is you don't talk about another man's money because it's so hard to be in the right place at the right time to fully capitalize. And even the situation with Clowney where you have the team posturing to try and say, no, you're a linebacker. You're not a D lineman so that they can save money. And it's constantly a back and forth. And it was.
Yeah.
But that was where they say it's a business and why they say it's a business. Because no matter how much you can say, we've got a relationship. We're good. Look at the Seahawks. Look at the Legion of Boom and how many guys, starting with Richard Sherman, are just completely disgusted by the fact that they thought that they had something more than football, and they didn't. Because the days of Eddie DeBartolo and the Niners and the family situation and things like that, that's over.
Yeah.
It's a straight business, and we learned it more and more in the last couple of years with all the different situations we've been through, and we're seeing it now even still in Dallas. With Jerry Jones and his quote-unquote relationship with Zeke, where I've earned the right to say those things to Zeke. But then right away, when he thought it was okay to say something like, Zeke who, and know that he was kidding, Zeke and his agent had a problem with it.
Yeah.
So that's when you know it's a business too.
Well, the good news is I'm glad the players are standing up for themselves. It kind of, the bad news is it backfired for this Texans organization that I happen to be a fan of. Because they got nothing in return for him. We talked about it yesterday, and I don't want to redo the show from yesterday, but a lot of people were out. Let's face it, a lot of people weren't listening. But we talked about the fact that, if you look at these moves individually, they obviously lost the Clowney trade, no doubt about it.
No question.
I think Clowney won. I think the Seahawks won, and the Texans obviously lost. And now we're going to see what they got back in return, but as far as most people are concerned, they didn't get enough back for what Jadeveon Clowney is and what he can produce in the NFL. But in that same vein, they went out and they I wouldn't say they won the Miami trade because they paid a lot for him or they overpaid for those two guys. But they addressed needs on this team in doing so, and you had to pay a penalty to do that because like you've always said, left tackles don't just, people don't just get rid of good left tackles.
Right, right.
And so you were going to have to overpay for one, and then they did that, but at least they addressed
it. Well, and then when they, when they want to do things well, they overpaid better than anybody that I've ever seen. So at least they can get the feather in their cap for going all out. When we want to overpay, let me tell you something, we overpay better than anyone.
Yeah.
And that is a job well done by Bill O'Brien. Because like we talked about yesterday, the bottom line is you're right, you got to overpay. But even Lance said this morning, a 1 and 2 twos, and I'd have been okay. But 2 ones
and a 2
and a 2 just seems to be excessive, and it didn't have to be done. And this one, unlike the last one, the Duke Johnson trade, when Bill O'Brien wanted full credit for being the guy that pulled it off and pulled the trigger, this one he wanted to make very clear was a team effort.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He came out and was kind of – we were all involved in this one.
Oh.
So that was a whole different dance than what he had in the Duke Johnson situation. So I think that he knows, too, that –
now let me.
There's
ask
been
you
a lot of writing on the wall.
The second, so DeAndre Hopkins had 1,572 yards receiving last year. All right, 11 touchdowns. Second on the team was Will Fuller with 503 yards and 4 touchdowns. if one of these guys, Fuller or QT, isn't healthy throughout the year, and Kenny Stills comes in and gets 800 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns, is this a win? Do they win that trade? Did they overpay now for
a
legitimate number two receiver that you can count on? Because he's going to get, you know.
I still think they overpaid, and here's why. Because Stills got into it with the owner. Because he had fallen out of favor in Miami. Because then he got into it and was outspoken about Jay-Z and working out the deal with the league and all those things. And then, you know, if Brian Flores, the new coach, was like, yeah, no, this is my guy. I'm just getting started here. You know, I'm going to support my guy. Instead, the next day at practice, he played 8 straight Jay-Z songs during stretching and during the first portion of practice just to kind of hammer Stills again. Because I talked to some people that are down in Florida and follow the Dolphins, and they said, you can say he's third out of the 3 receivers, but in that building up until Brian Flores took over, they thought he was the best receiver in the building, in the receiver room. And they thought that he could really play.
Over Parker and Hearns,
So, and Hearns is obviously a guy joining the team.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of people that thought highly of him. But again, when we talk about it, the locker room, there's a culture. And I think that the players liked Stills and got along with him, but I think he had kind of rubbed management the wrong way too. So this is a fresh start for him. But a lot of people that I've talked to said, coming to the Texans, it's not to the point yet where they'll think about doing something because QT has so much ability. It's just he can't stay healthy. But there's a high level of frustration with how many times he's been injured already. And I think that Stills could have a good year for them, whether anybody gets hurt or not.
Okay. Well, I guess that remains to be seen. But yeah. I'm asking.
But I still don't think.
If he gets 806, is that a win?
I still don't think they win the trade because of the draft picks being as high as they were.
Okay.
But I think it makes it more, it starts to level it out a little bit.
What would you have traded for Tunsil straight up? If you were to just trade draft picks, what would you have given up for a first round, for a left tackle for the next 10 years? A franchise left tackle. What would you have traded? Would you have traded a 1 and a 2?
I might have.
Okay.
I might have.
So
I was thinking more along the lines of a 1 and a 4, 1 and a 3 if I had to.
Okay. But as young as he is and everything else.
Because he's got a lot of things going in his favor. And again, the other thing that I threw out yesterday that I'll throw out again today that I really feel adamant about is, regardless of what was done, as long as this deal was being discussed, and it seems like, and even O'Brien said, he's really excited about the fresh start and being here. Mm-hmm. But if that was all the case, that he wanted a fresh start and everything else, I would have had at least discussions on an extension to get it done before the trade was finalized.
Well, let's evaluate this. If you were to have taken the first round pick for next year and drafted a left tackle and it worked, then you would have had your left tackle for the next 10 years. So what you did is you didn't gamble on it working or not working. You said, okay, you guys take the left tackle or the pick, and we'll take the left tackle. So what you paid on top of that was a second-round pick, right?
I see what you're doing, but I'm following along.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or you paid a first-round pick to guarantee that your left tackle was going to be a legitimate left tackle, mm-hmm. and you spent a second-round pick on Kenny Stills. So if you look at these individually, because I think what gets lost in this is everyone is saying, oh, you guys sent 2 1s and a 2 for Tunsil. Okay, well, if Kenny Stills goes for 800 yards and 6 touchdowns, then did you give up a 2 for him and 2 1s for Tunsil? And is that closer to being not as crazy of a trade? I still think it's too much for both of them. Mm-hmm. But if you look at them individually, if they both produce,
I see what you're doing. My rebuttal to that would be, well, what if instead of making the trade, they actually drafted their left tackle for the future and he became their guard?
Then you would have, you would have had him.
Because then you would have had 2 guys that were drafted as left tackles that played guard. You've already been there, done that. This avoids the screw up in the draft process by at least getting a guy you're assured is a left tackle.
But the way I look at it is, if they were going to draft a left tackle next year, knowing now that Tytus Howard is their left guard of the future, let's assume he is, big assumption,
sure,
but let's assume he is, and then you drafted your left tackle next year, what you really gave up is a 1 and a 2, because you're going to say that that one,
you got a player
my left
of
tackle,
one caliber,
but you're guaranteed, because they could screw up a draft pick like nobody else,
and like we
so
said,
at least you're guaranteed that he's good.
I like what they got. I just thought they paid too much in one deal, and I don't like what they got in return for the other deal.
But I mean, it's just another way of looking at it. You paid a 1 for Tunsil and you paid a 2 for Kenny Stills. Now, how long those guys are around and what they produce remains to be seen. But when you look at it that way, it's not as bad. It's still bad.
Yes. Without question. All right, before we go to the break, as we got plenty more to go on the show, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. Let's start with the facts that everybody wants to know. One, they're customer service friendly. They're going to take care of you. But more important than even that, they got a 5 out of 5-star rating from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. You don't get better than that. That's why you go and go to Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff, his staff, locally owned and operated, do a fantastic job. They are customer service focused. That means when you call, you don't get an automated system. You get a human being. And they're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to make sure they know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, is it for a business or your family, and they go from there. They do it until they get the best rate and the best deal they possibly can for you, and then they put it all on the table in clear English so you can understand what's going on. You mentioned ESPN 97.5 right off the top. You get a $25 bill credit, and they go from there. You can check out the website, infuseenergy.com, but better yet, give them a call, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, because I'm telling you, you won't regret it. Whether you go with them or not, you're going to be overwhelmed with the way that they are customer-focused friendly. They answer your questions, and they tell you exactly what they can do, and more importantly, what they can't do or what others are trying to do, so that you can avoid being caught in a bad deal. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, wrapping up number one, the hour of the show that we are on with you. We'll take you till 4, Blitz will take you till 7, right here on ESPN 97.5. Other news of the day, as we were talking football and we were talking about the trades and getting the most out of them in negotiations and the business side of things, it is now being reported that Ezekiel Elliott is on his way back from Cabo to Dallas. He has his agent Rocky Arsenault in tow, and that they are, quote, very close to a deal that will have him back in the fold with a new contract, getting ready for week one.
Well, they did. They made some room for him by signing Lyle Collins to a 5-year extension, which freed up about $5.5 million this year.
Yep,
that they have to give to Zeke now. So they locked up Collins. You know, they've got a lot of guys. They had Jalen Smith that they gave a 5-year deal to not too long ago with 35 of that guaranteed. So Cowboys got some, they got to pay the piper, but these are all guys that you want to get locked up. So I think they're doing the right thing, and they're figuring out how to get creative with that salary cap.
Some people think it's a bad problem to have because of all the money that they have to deal out in order to keep them. It's a good problem to have because you have so many talented players that if you just keep them, you're going to be in a good position. Amari Cooper and Dak still don't have their deals. They actually have handled it differently in the fact that they are in camp. They have a year remaining on their contracts, but I think that they have, with all the things that they've seen around them, they have the confidence that deals will get done.
Let me ask you something. Now, don't think I'm crazy here, mm-hmm. Okay? And I know you probably will.
Already do.
Would you pay Dak Prescott?
What do you mean pay?
I mean, unless you think you can get him at a good value, do you really think Dak Prescott is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback?
Well, that's a trick question, because Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer are Super Bowl quarterbacks, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, but I don't think that they are.
And they didn't cost you. True. But if Dak is wanting elite quarterback money,
yeah,
do you pay him, or do you say, you know what, Dak, we think you're average to above average and you won't hurt us in our pursuits of a Super Bowl, but we want to pay you like that.
See, I don't think that when we talk about this, when we talk about, you know, what we're looking at with Tunsil and the fact that he's going to have to be the highest paid left tackle in football when he comes up with the Texans. And that's going to be because he has all the bargaining power. Well, I look at this and I look at the quarterbacks and I say, if you're asking me, do I think Dak should be paid amongst the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL? Absolutely not. And I've heard people go back and forth on this. Do I think that he can get to a Super Bowl as the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys with the talent that he has? Absolutely. But that's also because of the fact that he's got an all-world running back. He's got a very high upper echelon wide receiver. He's got an unbelievable offensive line, which they're making sure that they lock down and keep in place. So that the offense has enough weapons and a lot of balance to where they can do a lot of things successfully. And then on defense, they've got a young defense that continues to get better. So they have all the pieces in place. But in terms of just overall individually as a quarterback, I heard people say, well, he's on par with being paid what Carson Wentz got paid in the 27 range.
Yeah. He's, if you go to SpotTrack and look up his market value according to SpotTrack, they group him with Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, and Jimmy Garoppolo. They suggest that he's almost worth $30 million a year. He should get a five-year, $147 million contract for what he's produced so far. I say no way do I pay that dude. Last year alone, if you look at him statistically, he threw for 3,885 yards, 15th in the NFL. Yep. Touchdowns, he was 16th in the NFL. There's no way I'm giving that guy Russell Wilson money, and he is dead middle of the pack in production.
I'm totally with you.
So,
That's what I'm
saying. My point becomes, at some point, you've got all these guys you've got to pay. You've got to pay Ezekiel Elliott. You still have to pay Amari Cooper. You've locked up some other guys defensively and offensively. You've renegotiated some deals. But at some point, you got to say, look, I'm out of money. When you're looking at this offseason and you're looking at Dak and you're looking at Amari Cooper, who's getting the lion's share of the money there? If I look at it, I say, you know what? I could draft another QB that could just not kill us. Or I could go out and sign a free agent QB that might not kill us. There's the Ryan Fitzpatricks of the world that'll manage a game.
That's a huge step down. There's a lot in the middle between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Dak Prescott.
As much as this team runs the ball, you don't need an all-world quarterback. And my point is, you don't have to pay Dak elite quarterback money.
And I'm with you, and I think we're in agreement on that.
At some point,
and
they have to make that decision.
And it's just finding an amount, because if you already hear, and it goes back and forth whether it's true or not, that he turned down 30 because he wanted 40, there's no way in hell I'm giving him that much money.
No way.
But when I look at what's going on, too, on the flip side of what you said, I can also say, hey, who's a better quarterback, Derek Carr or Dak Prescott? Because Amari Cooper was struggling mightily with Derek Carr, who a year previous to last year, was a really, really good quarterback, a Pro Bowl-type quarterback. Now you look at it and say, well, why did Amari Cooper make the jump when he got to Dallas? Because he was fantastic. The team was like 7-1, and he was like all-world with his stats. Is that Dak making him better?
Is it? Or is it the fact that they run the ball and they have to respect the run, and that opens up the passing game?
Well, I'm asking.
Is that too?
Because you still got to have D-backs cover him. You still got to get open.
Yeah.
You still got to get a guy that puts the ball where it needs to be put.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather pay Dak Prescott at least a minimum of $30 million a year, or somebody like Nick Foles, 20? Because Nick Foles, his market value is listed at $19.2 million a year. I would rather save $10 million a year and pay that to Amari Cooper and have Nick Foles running my offense than Dak Prescott.
I don't disagree. I think
that's a decision they're going to have
to make. I think
there's
other options, because I was going to say, yes, I think Nick Foles, because he's proven.
Mm-hmm.
And because he has the even-keeled mentality of a playoff quarterback that you need, which Dak, I think, doesn't have yet. Not that he can't get it. But I think when you say the group of quarterbacks that he's bunched in with, how many do you think he's better than? Because I don't think that he's better than Russell Wilson.
I don't think he's better than any of those names I read.
You know what? I don't think he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo, assuming Garoppolo eventually gets back to where he was before the knee injury. Mm-hmm. Now, I would like to say that he's better than Kirk Cousins, because Kirk Cousins has been underwhelming while overpaid. But at the same time, I could see that being maybe a wash.
Okay.
So I don't know that I put him above anybody in the category that in that group of quarterbacks you gave to me.
Well, so we mentioned Nick Foles, and I know he's locked up, but I was just using that as an example.
Because
that's the kind of guy I'm talking about. A game manager, although, I mean, he has a Super Bowl ring, so it's not like he's... But I looked at next year's free agent quarterbacks, and some of these, you know, aren't going to be available, or they may just not be here. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers. Also, though, on that list, Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Those are guys you can get on the cheap that just don't go out there and screw it up. Hand the ball to the Ezekiel Elliott, because we just gave him, you know, 7 years and 30 a year or whatever they're going to pay him. Ridiculous money, because he's going to get it.
Who's better, Jameis Winston or Dak Prescott? Because I'll say this, ability-wise, I think Jameis is more talented than Dak.
I think
maturity-wise and decision-making-wise, Dak is better than Jameis.
I would agree with that. But at the end of the day, Both of them are equal when it comes to just handing the ball to Ezekiel Elliott and getting out of the way.
But you know, Barry, at some point during some drive in one of the big key games, you're still going to have to make that throw. Those throws.
I get it.
So whether it's Brad Johnson selling out a Keenan McCardle over the middle, throwing it over his helmet, and somehow Keenan pulling it in while losing two ribs and a tooth, or you lead him on the side. You know, it's Dak Prescott leading Amari Cooper or Randall Cobb or somebody else.
I'm not denying what he and Cooper did towards the end of the year last year.
I think that's something that people take for granted. They look past and they have to realize, sure, you had Zeke. Sure, you had a good team. But the bottom line is Amari Cooper made leaps and bounds strides over where he was with the Raiders. And some of it has to be credited to Dak.
Yeah.
Okay.
$30 million worth of credit, though, a year.
I said, because Carson Wentz is, I think, making 27 a year. I would give Dak Prescott right now 27 a year for 4 or 5 years and be good with it.
Okay.
But I think as we get over that.
I was looking. I wanted, you know me. I'm a numbers guy. And his numbers were way better at the end of the year than the beginning of the year. Beginning of the year, 170, 160, 168 were his passing yards per game.
Who, of course, Cooper?
Dak.
Or Dak, okay.
He had 170, 160, 168. Then he kind of gets into a rhythm of about 250-ish, right? End of the year, he had a 455-yard game against the Eagles in overtime, 387 against the Giants. Still threw for 161 against Tampa Bay in the second to last game of the year. So he can go out there and lay an egg.
Yeah.
So you got to be cognizant of that when you go to pay Dak Prescott.
Doubt.
Which is why I say, if they had to choose and you had to choose, I'm choosing Amari Cooper over Dak Prescott. There's only so much money.
But I think receivers are more prevalently available than quarterbacks are, too.
I mean, you could get Teddy Bridgewater on the cheap next year.
I don't know that Teddy Bridgewater is better than Dak Prescott.
I would agree with that, but you could get Jameis Winston.
I
probably on the cheap.
I think Jameis Winston is going to make somebody better next year if he just gets his head on straight.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's hour number one. Quickly through 60 minutes of the show. Still 2 hours to go. That's a good thing. Glad you're with us as suspects. We'll take you into hour number two in just mere minutes. Stay right where you are. It's ESPN 97.5.